I'm really excited about our study, too, and excited about all the fun things we have planned coming up, too. But as we start tonight in the book of Ephesians, this is a book that is very theological, but also very practical. It is extremely applicable to all of our lives. It's a book, for example, that divides, if you remember our Roman Catholicism series, right? This book like separates Roman Catholics from Protestants, some of the stuff that's in here. But it also, even though it divides some religions, it also unites all people who believe in Jesus, whether you're a different tongue, tribe, people, nation, skin color, doesn't matter. So tonight, we are studying Ephesians. So go ahead and turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. And tonight, we're going to look at verses 1 through 2 in Ephesians, but then we're going to do an overview of the whole letter so that you kind of know where we're going. So Ephesians chapter 1, and then we're looking at verses 1 through 2. There are Bibles over there and over here if you need them. Okay, let me ask you a question. Who here has been shopping?
Oh, boy.
Okay, shopping of any kind. Yes, grocery shopping, clothes shopping, sports, attire, shopping. Okay, music, shopping. You've never been shopping, Trevin? Okay. Okay, great. Are you guys familiar with the idea of, like, getting reward points?
Oh, yeah, never.
Okay. Right. Right, for example, if you go to like, a Chick-fil-A.
Oh, yeah!
Yeah, right? And you use the Chick-fil-A app, right? And then you can earn sandwiches and, like, shakes and things like that.
Kohl's cash.
Kohl's cash?
Old Navy credit card.
A lot of times you have the airline cards, right? And then you can earn miles, and then eventually you can purchase like a trip with your miles, right? Which is pretty cool for a free trip. Or you can even think about it, and Lena is so excited to shop. She's ready. Or if you've been to like an arcade and you might pay like a coin to play like a whack-a-mole, let's say, but then, right, you get it and you dominate whack-a-mole. Right? And you get it. And then all the tickets just spill out. Right? Or skee ball. Right? And then that's my game right there. Yep. Or I went to AJ's with the boys over the summer. And they have that big, almost like a, it's just a big wheel. And then depending on where it lands, you get that a number of tickets. Right? So you get 1,000 tickets, get 100 tickets. Right? So it's kind of, you get rewards. And then you go up to the desk, and then you get a little, you could get one of those little parachute soldier guys. Right? I love those things. Or the spinner tops. Get one of those, too. Yeah, exactly. So sometimes, people don't really realize how much or how many riches that they actually have. It's like one of those moments where you might put on a jacket for the first time. Winter's coming, right? You put on a jacket first time, you go in your pocket, and there's a $20 bill there. And it's like, oh, cha-ching, right? Cha-ching. And you realize you were sitting on money that you never really had. Just the other day, Courtney and I went to Goodwill, and apparently we had stored up all these Goodwill reward points that we didn't know about. And so we got like a whole children's wardrobe, got a couple golf clubs that fit my size. And then we paid 71 cents. Just a beautiful thing.
71 cents?
Beautiful thing. It was beautiful.
Wow.
So sometimes, right, we sit on rewards and we don't even realize it. But on the other side of that, sometimes people do it foolishly, right? They're wealthy and they're rich, filthy rich. But they're so careful with their money that they don't spend it and it ends up hurting them. For example, back in early early 1900s, 1916, really wealthy lady. And she died and had $100 million that she passed down. Now, back in 1916, $100 million today would be worth $2.5 billion, okay? So she was a multi-billionaire. But even though she was a billionaire, she would eat cold oatmeal every day because she didn't want to turn on the gas to heat it up because she didn't want to spend gas money. She was so careful with her money that her son's leg got hurt, and she waited so long to take care of it and was trying to find a free clinic to take care of her son's leg that the leg got so bad that they had to amputate the leg. They had to take off her son's leg. And now this is a woman who is a billionaire, but just sat on her wrenches and never spent it. So on one hand, you have people that don't know the riches that they're sitting on. And then on the other hand, people have riches but don't use them. I think that's exactly what happens in the Christian life. And you might be like, wait a minute, Pastor Nick, I'm not rich. I'm not a billionaire. Yeah, right? Probably none of us here are billionaires. But even though that's the case, what so many believers do not realize are the riches that we have in Jesus. And sometimes believers don't even know about the riches they have in Christ. And sometimes we might know what we have in Christ, but then we don't do anything about it. We don't use any of those riches. They don't live out what it means to be a Christian. So as we come to Ephesians, my desire for us in this process, as we go through the book, is that you would know and use the riches that you have in Christ by being a Christian, and to live like it. You need to know the riches that you have in Christ, and you need to use them. So our time in Ephesians, we're going to be going through this fall and next spring on Wednesday nights. And we're going to be humbled, and we're going to be amazed, and we're going to be changed by what the Lord is going to show us in the book of Ephesians. We're going to be humbled about the riches that we have in Christ. Now, listen, this word, this phrase, in Christ, okay, in Christ, in the book of Ephesians, or in the Lord, or in Him, shows up nearly 40 times in the book of Ephesians. So this is a really major theme. The word Christ shows up 46 times. I know there's a cute baby over there that's making a lot of noise, but try your best to stay with me. Right, to be in Christ, right, is a major theme. Look at Ephesians 1, 1 through 2. Ephesians 1, 1 through 2 says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so what we see here, just in these first couple verses, is that the Apostle Paul is writing this to faithful believers in Christ and that they would have grace and peace. Now, a lot of times, New Testament letters are meant to correct somebody. Like, hey, you're in sin. I'm writing you a New Testament epistle. Or, hey, this is a false doctrine. That's wrong. New Testament epistle, okay? But this in the book of Ephesians, he's not really correcting anything. But this is meant to instruct us about what our faith is. Now, Ephesians is one of these things. Yes, Trevin. Good question. An epistle is another word for a letter. Okay? So it's a fancy word for letter.
You don't know what epistle means? Here's an epistle.
Here's an epistle. Yeah, here's a letter. So Ephesians is one of the letters Paul wrote called the prison epistles or the prison letters, meaning that Paul was in prison when he wrote this letter. He was in Rome and he was in prison. The other prison epistles are Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. These are the other prison epistles, and he wrote it while he was in prison. Now, this letter itself, although it was sent to the people in Ephesus, it's a place, the church there, it was meant to be spread to the believers all in that region because everybody needed to know all the important messages that were in the book of Ephesians. Paul wanted people to know about their faith and how to live it out. Now, the Apostle Paul in the New Testament is considered, right, like the best Hebrew scholar. He's considered like the best Pharisee. He's considered the Jew of Jews, the Pharisee of Pharisees, right? He knew it all. But what we see in the book of Acts in chapter 9 is that even though he radically persecuted Christians, right? And stoned them, sent them to death. But then the Lord radically converted Paul and saved him and really made him become an apostle to the Gentiles, meaning to any non-Jewish person. So even though Paul was very Jewish, the best Jew, God said, I'm sending you to all non-Jewish people so that they would have the gospel. Now, this is important as we come to the book of Ephesians, because if we were to summarize why Paul is writing this letter, the main theme and the main purpose that you will see in your little mini handout is this is the purpose of the book of Ephesians. That all who have faith in Christ are rich in Christ and united in Christ as one church. Okay, let me say that again. All who have faith in Christ are rich in Christ and are united in Christ as one church. This is the point. This is the purpose. And throughout the letter, we're going to be talking about a word called mystery. What is a mystery? Yes, Trevin. Okay, good. Uh-huh. What? Okay, solves mysteries. Okay.
It's kind of like something that happens and you don't know how it's going to like turn out in the end.
Yes, very good. Mm-hmm. Mystery. I think of the Mystery Machine, Scooby-Doo. It's my show. Scooby-Doo. Right, Magical Mystery Tour. Right, some of these things that maybe you guys don't know that one. Right, but mystery, okay? Maybe something that's hidden, revealed, not revealed yet, unrevealed, hidden. That's the word I'm looking for, right? Something that's hidden and then is revealed. Now, there's going to be something in the book of Ephesians that is revealed, and it's this, that before the New Testament, no one knew that believers in Jesus would be united as one people. No one knew that there would be a church, a local church, the bride of Christ, before the New Testament. So for Paul, even though he was a Jewish, the great mystery that's been revealed is that all people, any person, no matter what your ethnicity is, no matter your skin color, all people who believe, who have faith in Jesus, are rich in Christ and united in Christ as one church. So if you believe in Jesus, right, do you know what that means? Right? Do you know what power you have in Christ? Do you know what blessings you have in Christ? Do you know what you can overcome in Christ? And do you know what it means that you're part of the body of Christ, the church? That's why I'm so excited to go through. I am so excited to go through Ephesians with you guys. Because I believe it's going to change your life. I think it's going to change my life. I believe the Lord is going to transform all of us as we go through this next year. And that we're going to live in such a way and live together in such a way that we never have before. So get ready, because this year I think the Lord is really going to do amazing things. Because if you have faith in Christ, you're rich in Christ and united in Christ. So this mystery in the book of Ephesians is going to be laid out in three ways throughout the book. And that's what I just want to do, a brief overview of the book with you tonight. And the mystery is unfolded in three ways. The first is this. The wealth, number one, the wealth of faith in Christ. What is wealth? Okay, yes. Cha-ching. Okay, right? Means you're rich, right? So what does it mean that we have wealth of faith in Christ? Yes, well, we're going to talk about that. See, because remember what we talked about in the beginning, right? A lot of times, you don't know you have the reward points or that $20 in your coat pocket. Boom. Or you might have a lot of money, but you might not use it. But through the book of Ephesians, what we see is that being in Jesus, we have great power, we have great wealth by being united together in the living God. So chapters 1 through 3 of Ephesians is known as the doctrinal section. Doctrinal means it's the teaching section. It asks this question, chapters 1 through 3, asks this question, what is faith in Christ? What is faith in Christ? What is faith? What has Jesus done? How do I get saved? What happens after I get saved? Right? All of these questions are answered in chapters 1 through 3. Because being a Christian means you've surrendered your life to Christ and that Jesus rules your heart. And you love nothing more and you desire no one else but Him. Right? You're convinced that you are a sinner and that you deserve eternal fire and condemnation and that you can't do anything right. And you can't do any good thing to be made right before God. There's nothing we can do. Except that Jesus did that work on the cross and by being our substitute. So we trust in Him and what He did and His shed blood so that we can have forgiveness. And then we believe that He rose again so we can have eternal life with Him. Right, that's a free gift. And the way we receive that free gift is repenting and turning from our sin and taking hold and receiving and trusting in Jesus. So when we do that, we sit on great riches. We sit on great riches that we have in Christ. Look at Ephesians 1, verse 7. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace. Look at chapter 1, verse 18. I pray that the eyes of your heart might be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Look at chapter 2, verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, chapter 2, verse 7, so that in the ages to come, He might show the surpassing riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Look at chapter 3, verse 8. To me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ. And then chapter 3, verse 16, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man. Right? So just in these few verses, right, we see that God is unfathomably rich in His grace, in His mercy, in His glory, and His kindness toward you. Right? We're rich in our faith. So we're rich in it, so then what do we do with it? And this is what the second section of Ephesians talks about. So the second point is not just the wealth of faith, but the walk of faith. The walk of faith in Christ. So the wealth of faith asks the question, what is faith in Christ? But chapters 4 through 6 is a very practical section. It asks the question, how do I live out my faith in Christ? So not what is my faith, but how do I live my faith out in Christ? So we don't just have the knowledge, we don't just have the power, but we use it, we walk it with the people of God, the church. So if you're a Christian, that means that the Spirit of Jesus Christ lives inside of you and that you are a temple of God. It means that there's to be some change in your life of desire, that you love God more than anything, and that as a result of that changed desire, there is fruit that's evidence in your life. You've become a new creature, and your life should show it. Right? But you're, a lot of times Christians think we have to do this walk alone. I remember, I think I've shared this with you before, one of our pastors in the past have said, right, an isolated Christian is no Christian at all. Right, the Christian walk we have to do together. And we need each other as the church. We need each other. So it doesn't matter who you are, if you're male or female, if you're young or old, if you come from a different background, a country or state, we're all one in Christ. If you believe in Christ, you walk with Christ. Look at Ephesians 4, verse 1. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you've been called. Look at chapter 5, verse 2. We'll look at starting in verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love. Some of your translations might say live. In love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. Look at chapter 5, verse 8. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And then finally in verse 15, therefore be careful how you walk, not as wise men, unwise men, but as wise. So if you're saved, you are to walk worthy, you're to walk in love, to walk in truth, and walk in light, walk in wisdom. And this walk we do together, united in Jesus. Those silly squirrels. Post-snack will be fried squirrel. Well, the final part then of the book of Ephesians is one we studied for the youth service, which is not just the wealth of faith or the walk of faith, but it is the war of faith in Christ. So follow with me here, okay? The wealth of faith asks the question, what is faith in Christ? And it shows us that we sit on riches in Christ, okay? The walk of faith in Christ asks the question, how do we live out our faith? And shows us a life that we walk. Sit, walk. But the end of chapter 6, in the war of faith, asks the question, you know why? It's because of this section of scripture I think we're getting to on spiritual warfare. Like, this is the real deal right here, okay? This section asks the question, how do we fight with faith in Christ? And shows us that in battle, we stand. So the progression here of the book of Ephesians is that we sit on riches, we walk in faith, and then we stand firm in battle. And if the lights go out, I'm going to keep going, just so you guys know, okay? Because that's what we do. That's what we do. And we'll get our We'll get our phones out and we're gonna make it happen. Huh? Yeah, that's right. We should do that sometime. That'd be fun. Now, real quick, in chapter 6, verse 10, notice in verse 11, it says that we're to put on the full armor of God and stand firm against the schemes of the devil. And then in verse 13, we are to take up the full armor of God so that we will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything to stand firm, therefore, in verse 14. Listen, if you live the way Ephesians calls you to live, that is essentially a call to war with our own sin, with the world, and with the demonic forces against us. And the only way we're going to be able to fight in battle is to be able to depend and trust on the strength of God. That's the only way. We can't do it on our own strength. We have to depend on the strength of God, and that is how we stand firm again in spiritual warfare against temptation, against doubt, against fear, or feeling like we've failed, right? These are our marching orders, because all who have faith in Christ are rich in Christ and are united in Christ as one church. So the wealth, the walk, and the war of faith. What is faith? How do we live out our faith? And how do we fight with our faith? We sit on riches, we walk by faith, and we stand firm in battle. That is what the book of Ephesians is all about. I think Paul summarizes this nicely for us. And we'll close with chapter 3. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians 3, verse 14 through 21. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So my prayer is that God would grant us his power as we begin this study together. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you so much for this study and just how clear the book of Ephesians is. And may we, Lord, truly witness your power. Even as we listen to the thunder and the rain, you are an almighty, powerful creator, God. And you have given that power within us to overcome anything, to simply just trust in you. So may we do that. May we know the wealth of our faith, walk in it, and answer the call to war by depending upon you and standing firm. We thank you, Lord, for this time together. Bless these small group times as we discuss these things. In Jesus' name, amen.